in your sight. And so, Father, as we come together as your people today, that's our prayer. We pray, Lord, we extol you as our majestic God. You know all, you see all, you hear all. And Father, we realize that you are all. You are the great I am. You are Lord of not just our life, but you're Lord of this church. And so we praise you today. Father, we think of those health needs among us, and there are so many, Lord. There are many needs right within this room, Father. There are needs that are emotional and needs that are physical. Lord, we pray that you would meet the needs of each one. Those who may be, Father, here today and are hurting emotionally, we pray that you would, that they would focus on you and that you would be the rescue of their soul. Father, we pray for those who are hurting physically, and we pray, Father, for strength where it needs to occur and for courage where it needs to be. And Father, we pray for each family who is walking alongside someone who is hurting or suffering in some way. Father, give them as well the peace and the courage to be a strength for their family member, their loved one. Father, we think of those who couldn't be here this morning. There's some at Sucker River today. There are others who are away at weddings. And Father, we just pray that you would bless them today. Bless those hearts who really would love to be here, but just because of distance can't be. Lord, I know there are some who are away at work and working this weekend. I pray that, Father, even today they're spending time with you and talking to you. Father, we recognize that it's because of you that we're here. And so we pray for all the ministries that go on within this community, Father, that those churches that glorify you, those ministries that glorify you, God, we pray your blessing upon them. And we pray, Father, that we as a church would continue to be obedient to you, even as we look forward to the future together. God, we want to be obedient to you and to your word. May we not waver. May we stay true to you, our Father, our Lord, our Savior, our King. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, isn't it good to be here this morning? You are here, right? Yeah, okay. It's great. I want to ask you a question. Who is in control? What is it that today you're holding on to? What is it that you're grabbing a hold of? What is it that you just can't let go? Is it fear? Is it pain? Is it hurt? Is it joy? Is it excitement? Is it enthusiasm? What is it that you're holding on to? Can you do anything about what you're holding on to today? Well, I grabbed a few pictures this morning that could easily set us off if we were in these kind of situations and lose our control. Like, for instance, you go out and you eat, and then all of a sudden you open up the fortune cookie, and it says, "That wasn't chicken." Might be one of those moments that you just might lose it, you know. Or else you're sitting in your airplane and you're ready to fly off, and all of a sudden the captain says this. He says, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. Firstly, I'd like to thank you for choosing to fly Mandarin Airlines. As we taxi out to the runway, please make yourself comfortable. And for those of you sitting on the right side of the plane, please look to your left." You see what's on the right side of the plane? Yeah. Or you might see this guy running and you want to catch up. "I am a bomb technician. If you see me running, try to keep up." There are some things that you just can't control. You see, fear will drive you crazy. Maybe today you need to address your fear. Worry will drive you crazy. Now, I don't know, you don't need to show your hands, but how many of you here are worry warts? Don't show your hands, because I need to put mine up. People will drive you crazy. Now, I know you want to show your hand, but how about people? You know, minding other people's business will drive you crazy. Let other people mind their own business. Life, just life, can kind of drive you crazy if you let it. Life can drive you crazy. By the way, did you know life is what happens when you've got something else planned? It's true. I want to start up by saying that all those things, all the things that we've been talking about that bug us, the kind of make us think we're going out of our mind, those things that we've spoken about over these past few weeks over the summer, suffering, fear, turmoil, hurt, and pain, all those, when you really bottom line it, it's all about control. They're all issues about control. We don't like to be out of control. I invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And as you do, I just want to say, first of all, that gaining control requires, first of all, self-control. Self-control. If you want control, you got to control yourself. See, what is self-control? It means you control yourself. You see, I go so deep for you people. You control yourself. That's self-control. You and I know from our experience that it's very easy not to just kind of let life go on. It's not easy to discipline our emotions. It's not easy to discipline our passions. It's not easy to discipline our self-will. And in fact, apart from God's help, it's an impossibility to do. I do, as I mentioned before, I do a lot of weddings. And I went to this one wedding. It's absolutely wonderful. I arrived to the place where the wedding was going to happen, and when I came in and I saw the groom, and he was sitting there at a table. He looked so enthused, you know. And I walked in, and he said, "Oh, Pastor D, hi." I said, "Hey, how you doing?" "Great. Everything's going good." I just about said, "Yeah," because you're sitting. But anyway, I said, "So where's your fiancée?" You know. "Oh, I don't know. She's somewhere around here doing something, you know." I said, "Well, where's she?" "Oh, there she is." He said, "There she is." So he says, "Hey, Pastor D's here, you know." And she turns around like this. She's doing something. And she turns around like this. She looks up at me. And she goes, "Hi." She comes over. She puts her arms around me. And I'm, "Buddy, get over here. You put your arms around. Get it." And they're hugging. They're holding. And she's bawling. And I said, "You ready for the rehearsal?" And I said, "Well, are we ready for the rehearsal?" So I looked at him and I said, "Are we ready for the rehearsal? Rehearsal? When's that?" I said, "Right now. That's why I'm here, you know." So then she says to me in her blubber, she says, "It's been raining and I don't want it to rain. I don't want it to rain anymore. I don't want it to rain tomorrow. I want a good day. I want to know that everything's going to be okay tomorrow. Is everything going to be okay?" And I said, "I don't know if everything's going to be okay, but you know God better than I do." Man, she lost control. You see, so often we say, I don't have the answer here, and I want it, and I want to know why, and I want to know how, and I don't want any surprises. I want to know when. I want to know who. How many of you are control freaks? How many of you are liars? Come on. You know you just like to know what's going on. You just like to call all the shots, be in charge, and you know all that kind of stuff. You need self-control. You just try controlling your temper for a month. I see you live. Just listen to him. Listen. Try to control your impatience with your child for a week. Try to control the temptation to get into somebody else's business for a couple of weeks. Ooh, I'm not even warmed up yet. The Apostle Paul apparently went through a lot of these issues in his lifetime. He had to face them. He had to deal with them and kind of work through the feelings and come to some kind of balanced attitude about these control issues. And he kind of got it figured out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul said this, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything." Now, the Message Bible says it this way: just because something is technically legal doesn't mean that it's spiritually appropriate. If I went around doing whatever I thought I could get by with, I'd be a slave to my whims. Many of us live by whims. Paul's saying, hey, I'm free. I can do anything I want to, but I'm not going to do everything I feel like doing. I'm not going to do everything I want to because it would not be a wise or a good thing for me to do. Everything is lawful for me, Paul says. I have a right to do what I want to do, but I'm not going to become a slave of anything or be brought under its power. Then he goes on in this chapter, and he talks about food, and he talks about intimacy, and he talks about immorality, and he talks about impurity, and he talks about thoughts, and he talks about words, and he talks about actions, all the way through to verse 20. Paul says, look, I'm a free man. I can do anything I want to do, but I'm not going to let things control me. I'm going to control my passions. I'm going to control my thoughts. I'm going to control my attitude. I'm going to control my speech, my tongue. It seems to me, I might be wrong, but it seems to me that Paul was more concerned about controlling himself and how he acted through situations and circumstances, and how he responded in situations, than by being controlled by them. See, Paul did not concern himself with controlling everything that went on around him. Do we need this today? You're all going. The Apostle Paul was concerned about whom he was walking and talking with, than where he was walking and talking. That's what I love about Paul. Oscar Levant said this. He said, it's not what you are, it's what you don't become that hurts. Why? When I first started going to pastors' conferences, I love my fellow colleagues in ministry, but I can remember that every time I go to a pastors' conference, that invariably, one of the pastors would come to me and say, so what are you in the body? We'd be sitting around the tables, and so what are you in the body? I'd think, what in the world are they talking about? And so finally, because I guess I got to know this. I mean, they're asking, these guys are seasoned veterans. I mean, so we're sitting around this table, and we're having our meal, and all of a sudden, this one pastor, so what are you in the body? And this one guy goes, well, I'm like the feet. I do all the running. I help people out. I'm like a servant. Next guy, same thing. I'm the feet. Servant. They're going around the table. I'm thinking, man, what am I going to say when they get to me? What am I in the body? What am I in the body? So, I mean, I have to think fast. Because I thought, I got to be something, obviously, because this is the question of the day. It came to me, and he said, oh, so Devin, what are you in the body? I said, I guess I'm the mouth. I said, because I like to talk, That question was never asked at another conference again that I was at. Thanks, Joyce. It's not what you are. It's not what you are. It's what you don't become that hurts. And I mean, we talk about it. Oh, I wish I had. I wish I had. I wish I had. If we'd stop wishing and start being. Paul points out that when your life is controlled outside of Christ, it's a life that is hindered by all that happens around you. We should spend much more time trying to control ourselves than trying to control our friends or our wife or a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend and all the circumstances and everything that's going on out there. It's like we waste all of our time and all of our effort. People waste all their time and effort trying to control all this stuff that only God can control. And then we're too worn out to try to exercise anything with ourselves and keep ourselves in check. Let me tell you, everyone in this room, everyone, you control your desires, you control your fears, you control your worries, you are in control. It's just how you're controlling is the question. So often we let everything around us dictate what we're to do, what we're to be, what we're to become. We let our circumstances tell us what we should do. We let our hurts dictate how we're going to feel. We let our fear paralyze us from being whom God created us to be. We let people inform us of how we should be acting. You know, I think it's funny how God always gives me creative ways to illustrate a sermon when I'm doing it. He does it the week of. And this past week, I did something wonderful. I decided to put new doors in the kids' room. Anybody ever put in a door in your children's rooms? Okay, anybody put in a door? Has anyone walked through a door? Okay, I'm just checking. Well, I thought I'll start with Felicia's rooms. I got this, you know, it's a pre-hung door, so it comes all. And when I thought it was a pre-hung door, I thought it was that you bought it and it was all there and it was shaped and you just put it in. That's what I thought. Well, they give me these pieces. You have to put them together. Did you know that? So I get these pieces, these boards, and it's kind of like a puzzle. You have to figure out how it's going. And the guy tells me, he says, now make sure when you're cutting the frame, you cut from the bottom. And that way the hinges are going to line up and everything's going to line up. It's going to close and it'll be beautiful. It's great. Thanks for the tip. So I sawed off from the bottom. I put Felicia's door in. I tell you, that door fit perfectly. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I listened to what my dad said. My dad said, you measure twice and you cut once. It's true. So I measured twice and I cut once. Came to Nathan's door the next day. I mean, I'm a pro door installer at this point. So I got busy and I measured once and I cut twice. And I lined this thing up and I got the frame together and I put it up and I nailed in the top and I put the door on and I swung the door and wham! It hit the top of the frame, wouldn't shut. I thought, wait a minute, what did I do wrong here? What did I do wrong? You see, what I did first of all is I put the hinges on the outside. The hinges were supposed to be on the inside. That doesn't work very well. So then what I did is I took the door off and I thought, okay, now I got this wrong. What did I do? Oh, yeah, all I have to do is turn this around. It's very simple. So I turned it around. I turned the board around and I put it up. Bang! Wouldn't shut again. Remember? You saw from the bottom, right? You flip it around, what happens? You've sawed from the top. Now, listen, I was very upset at this point. And Joan was on the phone. I don't know why Joan is ever on the phone when I'm upset, but it happens. She's on the phone, and I'm in, okay. Joan, very calmly, because that's how I am. Joan, I never get excited about anything. Joan, the door doesn't fit. We're going to have to go get a new door. If you could get off the phone soon, that'd be really greatly appreciated. I talk like that all the time. And so anyway, I thought, okay, she's still on the phone. She's talking to me. I've got to fix this. So I got busy and I took a hammer and I whammed the top because I figured I can move that 2 inches pretty easy with a hammer. Snap goes the board. I'm in full-blown panic at this point, and I'm saying to Joan very calmly and coolly, get off the phone. We have to go to Rona and get off the phone right now. And Joan says, just the moment. No, please. No, don't leave him. Get off the phone! I got a door problem. We have to run to Rona! Right now! So what do you do in those kind of situations when you lose control? Well, I took the door. Remember, I'm good at removing door frames, so I got the door frame out of there, no problem. I took it apart, and I said, you know, God, I need to pray right now because I'm losing it. And I was. I was literally losing it. I thought for sure that I was going to break into Rona or Windsor or something to get a door. And I said, God, I'm losing it right now. I can't handle this. But from what I understand, I mean, your son knows something about carpentry. And I need your help right now. And I tell you, I glued a little piece at the top, and it fits perfectly. Nathan, he arrived home from Regina, and he looked, and he said, Dad, what are all these little nail marks across the... Joan said, don't ask. Don't ask. Control! Love how God just gives me that little sermon illustration. We lose it some, and I don't know why it is that we lose control, and when we lose control, the last place we go is to the place that we first need. That's to him. You see, Everyone loves to hear preaching about people not controlling you, but let me in a little secret. Out of the best ways to have a good harvest in your life of not having people control you is to sow some seed and stop trying to control everybody else. Because you need to give away what you want to have, and if you want to have freedom, you need to let other people be free. Now, that doesn't always work, but it's a good place to start, because you're always going to find somebody that wants to give you a hard time. We need to be free. Freedom only comes when you pray for the spirit of self-control, because then you can handle what comes your way. The Apostle Paul could say, I'm free enough to be able to adjust and adapt to other people, to my surroundings, to my circumstances. I am so free that I don't have to have my way all the time. My. I'm so free that I don't have to have my way all the time. I think we need some kind of that, just a little bit of that freedom. Amen? Does this make sense this morning? If you're somebody who's interested in control, you better try to control your own flesh instead of trying to control everybody else's, what they think, what they do, what they say, how they feel about you, whether they are talking about you or not. I always say when people are talking about me, they're talking about a good subject. On and on and on. Putting all those efforts in the wrong direction. A lot of people aren't controlling themselves, but they sure do want to control everybody else. How do we become self-controlled? Well, this is the next point. In order to gain control, you need self-control, but you're going to need spirit control. Now, I don't mean trying to control God, because we do that enough already. God, I want. God, you must have got this wrong. God, you know, things have to be this way. God, I don't want to meet that person. God, I don't want to do that ministry. God, we do a lot of gods. It's amazing how many times in life we get things backwards. Don't try controlling everybody and everything else. Control yourself. And don't try to control God. Control yourself. And having to know everything and having to have everything figured out is trying to control God and is trying to control life. And more than ever, if we're going to deal with pain, if we're going to deal with hurt, if we're going to deal with our circumstances, we need God to control. We need to hand over our control to the Spirit of God. That is what's going to make life enjoyable once again. It will bring the joy back when you say, I don't know what's happening here. I don't know why I'm going through this pain. I don't know why I'm going through this hurt, but I surrender it to you, God. I surrender it to the Spirit of God. 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, but he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Message Bible says this, didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, a place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? You think of this, God paid for what you owe. And not only did he pay for you, he grants you his power to overcome what it is that prevents you from enjoying the life he's given you. And all you have to do is just surrender your control over to him. God gives us control by giving us a free will. And when you think about it, that's quite a step of faith for the Lord to give us human beings a free will. But then he asks us to willingly and even joyfully give that control back to him. And I've discovered if God is going to be in control, then that requires self-control. God doesn't want me to control him, and he doesn't want me to try to control my circumstances, and he doesn't want me to control everyone else, but he does want me to control me, my very self. And the only way I can do that is by surrendering my control over to him. I know invariably the question is, well, how do I become self-controlled? Bill Bright said this. He said, self-control begins when we surrender ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit. Just give it away. Everything, it's surrendering everything that gets in your way to God. When you don't have God controlling your life, there's a few things you gain. When you don't have The Spirit of God controlling your life. You struggle more, your confusion level increases, your worry intensifies, but you lose a few things too when you don't have God controlling your life. You lose your joy for sure. How am I doing with the subject matter so far? You see, we tend to want to have it all figured out. Figure. Let me tell you something. If you have to have it all figured out, if you just need to know, why am I going through this right now? What are these circumstances? What are you doing? Where is that person going? Why are they doing that? Why is that ministry happening? Why? If you're the figured kind of person, let me tell you what you need. Listen very carefully. You need to trust God more. One of my favorite Old Testament passages is Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. You've got to put a lot of trust in God. God, I'm going to trust you. Say that with me this morning. God, I'm going to trust you. God, I'm going to trust you. Do you believe it? It's easy to say. It's just as easy to believe it. See, if you want peace in your life, then the best thing you can do is just stop trying to find out so much and let God be God and you be you and let him do his work through you. You see, little Billy, he helps us understand a few things of why things happen, why they do. Look at this. He says, make me good. He's praying, make me good. And if you don't get through to me the first time, please keep trying till I answer. God, we say, God, may I be more like you. God, may I follow you. God, help me to be whom you want me to be. And then we try to change all the circumstances they walk through when really God is just answering our prayer. How wonderful life would be if we just say, you know, God, I don't care if I don't know the details. If you want me to know, God, then you tell me. And if you don't want me to know, it's okay with me. See, if we start relying on what we can figure out, oh, what a pitiful mess we're in. Get one thing, get this. The only way you're ever going to enjoy your life is to become like a little child and trust. And trust means you don't know. But you're satisfied to know the one who does know, which is God Almighty. And you trust him that he's good, and you believe that he loves you, and that he's going to provide for you, and you don't have to know. And you believe if God wants you to know, he'll tell you, and if he doesn't tell you, then you must not need to know. Then you can enjoy your life, because you're not tormented by what's happening around you anymore. Otherwise, you're going to be tormented. You're going to be trying to figure everything out. You're going to try to just control everybody and everything and everywhere you walk and every step you take, and it'll drive you crazy. Well, I hope this summer you've understood that God can handle anything that comes your way. I hope you've come to understand that the power of God is all you need. And I hope you understand that whatever you're walking through or wherever you walk, I trust you now cleave to the understanding that God can calm the storm, that God can take your pain, that God can relieve your hurt. But you have to do something. You have to offer it all back to him. And I hope this morning you've understood that you gain control and you give up your control to him. May we be a people who gain control. Because that's when we enjoy our life, when we enjoy where we're at, and we enjoy our Lord all over again. Let's pray. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're saying to God, God, I need to trust you. I give up the control. I give up the pain. I give up the hurt. I give up the circumstance. I give up trying to control everybody around me. I'm gonna give it up to you. And God, you just inform me what I need to know, and I'll do what you inform me I need to know. you're saying that to him today, God, I will trust you through all of this. I'll trust you. Just lift your hand. Lift your hand. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. This morning, let me assure you that out of everything, God wants you to enjoy your life. Take that with you today, that He wants you to enjoy where you're at. He wants you to enjoy what you're doing. He wants you to enjoy the people around you. God wants you to enjoy life. Father, we thank you for this morning that we're allowed to trust in you. You paid what we owe. And you did it because of your love for us. And Father, sometimes we lose a sense of that love. Sometimes we can't understand that love. We can't even comprehend it. And God, when we walk through pain and walk through hurt and we walk through circumstances that we are just beating us up, that are out of our control, Lord, may we know that we can trust in you. Assure us, God, we know that your love is so deep for us. It's an undying love that we can trust in that love to carry us through. May we be more like your Son. Father, may we be holy and pleasing to you, your body, the church. Father, we surrender it all to you. Pray your blessing upon each and everyone here, each one of our families. Protect us, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You've been beautiful to minister to. Worship team.